This message comes from NPR sponsor, Discover. Tired of not getting a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I guess full disclosure, Eric, I gotta say, when this was first pitched and the potential for a conversation about Bad Trip was pitched to the show, one of my colleagues, she sent me this clip of you and Larry King in an interview.
Oh, yeah.
From years ago that scared the crap out of me.
R.I.P.
Because you gave that man hell.
Hell on earth. I put him through the ringer.
Do you have a secret talent?
Yes.
What is that?
I can 69 with Larry King.
Anytime I want. And when they sent me that, I was like, I can't talk to this man. He's going to annihilate me. He's going to destroy me. Like, do you remember that interview?
Yeah, no, I remember it very well. And it's one of my favorite interviews outside of the interviews for my show.
What do you think of this election?
I think it's sassy.
Sassy?
Yeah.
What makes you angry?
Larry King.
I love when you book the intellectual.
He was asking me ridiculous questions at that point. He wasn't listening.
Would you you want me to be a guest on your show?
I do. I thought we already established that.
What's the best?
I'm trying to have a connection with you, and you're just glued.
What's
to the
best piece?
You love to like occupy the awkward space.
Yes.
You seem really comfortable there. Like Larry King is squirming. He is angry, and you're just like,
I'm not always totally comfortable there, but I know it's good television because it's interesting. It's provocative. It forces an emotion out of the viewer.
You're listening to It's Been a Minute from NPR, and this episode, I Swallow My Fear and interview the ever-provocative comedian Eric Andre. You may have seen a lot of Eric recently. He is out with this new prank film called Bad Trip. It has hit number one on Netflix a few times since it was released at the end of March this year. This movie, Bad Trip, it is a buddy road trip film meets rom-com meets hidden camera prank show. So in the movie, Eric Andre stars alongside fellow comedians Lil Rel Howery and Tiffany Haddish. Their characters are fictional, telling this fictional story, but all along the way, they're playing these pranks on real people.
Help me! The cops won't get here in time!
What the hell you do to her? You better steal your ass back up that wall!
What? That damn nigga ain't worth it. Hey, I'm from where you from.
Bad Trip is not Eric Andre's first time doing pranks. Since 2012, he has hosted The Eric Andre Show. The fifth season of that show premiered on Adult Swim last year. That show, The Eric Andre Show, it is this weird send-up of the late-night talk show format. Also very funny, also very absurd, and full of pranks.
See, I don't like
that.
Please
birds.
Don't start
no, birds.
What else is coming down?
It's just dead birds.
In this chat, we talk all things prank with Eric Andre and why, unlike a lot of other prank TV and movies, his stuff sometimes ends up having a heart. We also discuss how pranking while black can complicate things. Let's talk about Bad Trip.
Okay.
For folks that haven't seen it, give them a quick plot synopsis.
It's a hidden camera prank movie, but there's a narrative, there's a story within the hidden camera prank. That's basically a love story. It's a buddy road trip comedy a la Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
Borat meets Dumb and Dumber. There we go.
But black.
But black. Black Borat. Blorat.
Yes. Blorat. I don't want to give away too much, but I do want you, if
it's
you're
out.
Willing
the
to do
out
this.
It's out already. Give it away.
It is out, but there's some people who haven't seen
give
it.
Give it away.
Like,
I'm
right. Okay. Give it away. Give it away. Give it away. Spoiler alert, everyone. At the end, they all die.
All right, babe.
Break down one of the plots and like how you make it work. Seeing these pranks happen, my question the whole time was just like, how does he pull this off? Like, some people have to know, some people can't know, but
nobody knows except the actors, except for me, Michaela, Tiffany Haddish, and Rel. People, we never had a fake reaction. Our ethos going into it was like, can never have a fake reaction. Even if you just need a line of exposition out of somebody that you're pranking, it has to be authentic. For instance, there's a scene where I break out into musical. I realize I'm in love with Maria, the love interest in the movie, and I'm talking to this older gentleman on a bench right outside of the mall. And I'm asking him, I'm having this existential debate on whether I should stay in New York and toil in these miserable, menial jobs, or if I should chase love and go to New York. I talked to that guy probably for like 90 minutes before I got two sentences out of him that I needed to kick off the whole road trip, which was, I just needed him to say, I was like, what do you think? Do you think I should stay here and toil in obscurity, or do you think I should go and take a chance on love?
And like, I've never felt this way about a woman before.
What do you have going here?
I don't got anything going here. That's the thing. No. I got, my best friend is here, my friend Bud.
And you know, I say, go for it. If you don't, the rest of your life, you're going to be sitting here saying, what if I would've, what if I would've?
What am I doing here?
The scene's probably 2 minutes long. I talked to that guy for almost 2 hours just to get that one little piece of information out of him, because there's no fake reactions in the movie. We have to have everyone having a genuine reaction. So that was our ethos going into it. So that's a little bit of it.
Are you recording the whole time?
And we're recording the whole time on multiple cameras, on like 19 cameras. We have,
and
like,
this dude doesn't see the cameras?
No, they're all hidden. So they're either like camera operators hidden inside parked minivans with tinted windows, or like special boxes and fake walls that we build into walls, into existing building structures. There's people with, we had coffee cup cameras. We have these little GoPro. I swear to God.
And
we
stop
can,
it.
We can send, I should show pictures more on Instagram.
You should.
So yeah, there's no fake reactions throughout the movie.
Are you surprised that strangers will talk to you that long? Especially when you're going into some weird, strange places.
I am, but I had it down to a science where I kind of knew how to charm them enough to get them to talk to me, but also make them think I'm completely nuts. And a lot of them were like stuck there. Like the Army recruitment guy was stuck there doing his job, so he couldn't really leave. He was on his shift.
Yeah.
So he was kind of trapped.
Yeah.
Just
got
to get it together, man. Talk to your buddy and apologize to him, and you'll be fine.
Just tell him how you feel. Just tell him you're sorry.
Yeah.
And if he's really your friend, if you guys have been friends for as long as you have, he's going to forgive you.
Yeah.
Were there any pranks that you couldn't use?
Yeah, we shot a bunch. I mean, we released some of them. We did a prank with Chris Rock, and the person we were pranking recognized Chris right away, obviously, because he's very, very,
which
very
you had
famous.
To have expected.
Yeah, we were hoping. We had him semi-disguised, but his voice is so iconic and recognizable. So that was the biggest heartbreak, because he did the movie for no money. He flew himself out. He just did it as a fan, and to have to cut one of my heroes from the movie was very heartbreaking. We also did this, and you could see we just posted it online. We also did this prank where me and Rel and I stayed at a haunted motel for the night, and I get possessed. A la The Exorcist. And we had this real preacher that we found, this real Georgian preacher come in.
Shut up.
And like perform an exorcist on me. We just released a bunch of deleted scenes, so you can see them on YouTube.
What is your demonic possession voice?
It's kind of like my Eric Andre Show voice.
Welcome to the fifth season of The Eric Andre Show!
Very macho man, Randy Savage, like Quatlatu Benedictus Agnus de Gloriae Benedictus. It's like that kind of. It's kind of like how I do stand up. Yeah.
Okay. What was the most dangerous thing that happened to you and Rel and the whole team during the taping of these pranks?
There's a scene where Rel's character, our penises get stuck in a Chinese finger trap.
Even when you say it, I've seen it twice. I've watched this movie twice. And when you say what the pranks are, it like breaks me down all over again. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I just.
And we went into this kind of like hood barbershop in Atlanta, and
don't undersell it. First, so y'all have these like prosthetic penile.
Yeah, exactly.
Connected through an oversized Chinese finger trap.
Yes, and we're stretching it back and forth. They were trying to get out of the penis trap. We're trapped in the thing. So we asked this barber politely to use his scissors to cut us out of this trap, and the guy did not think it was funny.
Hey, sir, can you get our out of this thing? Hey, you know what we're gonna... He's got a knife.
He chased us out of his barbershop with a knife, and he told us later he was lucky. He's like, "You're lucky I didn't bring my gun to work. I usually bring my gun." And that was Rel's first day of shooting, so Rel quit the movie for like 24 hours. We didn't have Rel.
Nice.
Because we almost murdered him.
Yeah. And also, Rel didn't just quit. Rel called up his friend Tiffany Haddish
He called Tiffany to vent. And Tiffany started laughing at him. He's like, "Eric Don just got me doing this prank movie. He's almost got me killed." And she thought it was so funny that she called me after she got off the phone with Rel. And she was like, "Yo, you almost got Rel killed?" And I was like, "Yeah, don't tell anybody." I was embarrassed. And she goes, "Nah, I live for that. Get me in there." Like I love doing, like, she'd done some prank shows on MTV and Comedy Central. She's like, "Sign me up. I'll do any of that." Like, I live for that stuff. And coincidentally, the woman that was supposed to play Rel's sister had just dropped out because she had a scheduling conflict with her television show. So it was pennies from heaven. I mean, like, it was a casting from heaven. And because obviously Tiffany's just brilliant. So it added so much value to the movie. Yeah.
Coming up, how do you make a hidden camera prank movie while black? It's complicated.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Discover. Here's a familiar situation. You have a question about your credit card. You call the number for help and can't get a hold of anyone. If only you had a Discover card. With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. A real person. Get the customer service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
In stressful times, you want to spend your time checking out not just what's best, but what's best for you. We know you care about what you watch, what you read, and what you listen to. NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast is with you 5 days a week to make sure that time is well spent. Listen now to the Pop Culture Happy Hour podcast from NPR.
So, talking about these pranks where knives are pulled, etc. Yes. Did you have to have any extra safety precautions around the potential for those things? Because y'all aren't Johnny Knoxville. Y'all are black people out in the world doing this stuff.
We, after the knife incident, we beefed up our security. We did have a security guard during that, but we leveled it up a lot after that because that was a nightmare. So, my safe word was popcorn, but I kept forgetting my safe word in those violent moments. I kept saying goosebumps for some reason. My mind just re-recorded goosebumps over popcorn. So I'd be yelling at security, "Goosebumps, goosebumps, goosebumps." And they'd be like, "Huh?" And I go, "Popcorn."
Dude. Do you think it was riskier doing the pranks that you're doing with a team of people of color as opposed to, like, literally Johnny Knoxville and the white folks?
Yeah, it can be. I mean, you know, it's funny. I even talked to Knoxville about this. Knoxville had a prank that he did back in the day in Jackass, where he was in an orange prison jumpsuit with handcuffs and leg cuffs, and he went into a hardware store. And he was like, "Can you saw these handcuffs off me? What do you got?" And cops came and, like, almost arrested him. And I was just like thinking, like, yeah, me and Rel did that. We'd be dead.
You'd be dead. Yeah, they would shoot you on sight. They would shoot you on sight.
So there was things like that where it was like, I mean, we had Tiffany in an orange jumpsuit, but you know what? That was a very contained. Like, except for the graffiti removal guy, that we locked down the street for her own safety.
Oh, really?
So we weren't letting, like, pedestrians on that street. We like, kind of trapped that, unbeknownst to him.
"You better take your ass off. You better take off. You better run.
Man, I'm going to get my car, and I'm going to go to Mexico, and I'm going to just start all over, man.
Get those clothes off and get the out of here.
Can I borrow your vest?
I can't give you my vest.
You my lookout. I never forget a face.
Go.
Thank you for helping me escape.
Hidden camera means
poor guy.
Hidden camera means hidden crew. So we kind of like isolated that guy without his knowledge, so that Tiffany would be safe in the orange jumpsuit.
I love that guy.
Yeah,
he was a freaking good sport.
Oh my god, he's amazing.
On top of like the team doing these pranks being black and brown, I noticed a lot of the like civilians and bystanders involved in on the sidelines and wrapped up in these pranks. They're also people of color.
Yeah.
Was that intentional?
Not directly intentional. A lot of we filmed the majority of the movie in Atlanta, you know, and around
Georgia. Well, that explains a lot.
So there's just a lot of black people in Atlanta. But also, some black cast in compromised situation. Our characters are always in compromised situation, and it was just nice seeing black people help black people out. It was like the people were pranking were like even more invested because me and Rel are in peril in so many situations. And also, like, black people have better reactions. Like, black people are so emphatic and, like a lot of people in the movie, like, wear their heart on their sleeve in the way, like, they don't hide their feelings. Like, some, like,
no.
Like if you prank, like, a white businessman, they're just kind of like, well, that's weird. I'm just going to walk away. You know what I mean? Versus the women.
Whereas, like, the black woman starts praying for you.
Yes.
Literally.
Or the woman in the chicken wing shop, J.R. Crickets, that's like, when
love
Tiffany
her.
Comes
the
in.
Short-haired she, woman?
Yeah, yeah, Jackie. What's
she's
her name?
She's amazing.
Hey, did you see these dudes? Did they come up in here?
Oh,
no,
sorry,
they're
just met.
Yeah. Pierce?
Y'all about to call you.
Did anybody in here see which way these
went? They went that way. They got in the car and went that way.
You had to these niggas up.
And she's like, I was just about to call you, girl, when Tiffany came back. She's like, I went to school with the police. I'm in security. I don't forget a face. Like, she's just so charismatic. Like, if she was a stuffy white businessman who's like, you know, works for a hedge fund, I don't think we would have gotten that same reaction.
Yeah. And like, there's also when you're getting those kind of reactions from people of color, it's also revealing something that I never saw a lot of in Punked or Jackass or even Borat, and lots of reviewers have spoken about this in the film Bad Trip. There's a certain humanity that's revealed in these people that are being pranked.
Yeah.
They are usually nice, they're usually kind, and they're trying to help in spite of them being totally discombobulated by the prank.
Totally. You know what? When we first showed the movie to Sacha Baron Cohen, he had the best, like, succinct, astute review. And he turned to me and he goes, you know, my movies are about exposing the corruption and hypocrisy of, like, wealthy white oligarchs. He goes, your movie is about showing the humanity and the beauty and the good Samaritan nature of black people and working class people. And, like, he goes, I really hope your movie, like, unites the working class, because we're pitted against each other so often through class and race that your movie shows the humanity of the proletariat. And I was like, wow, like, right as he ended the movie, like, that was the first thing out of his mouth.
All right, coming up, when it comes to comedy and being offensive, where is Eric Andre's line?
This message comes from NPR sponsor BetterHelp. When you keep your stress bottled up, it can eat away at you. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to make them better. Try BetterHelp Online Therapy, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp at BetterHelp.com/NPR today to get 10% off your first month. Support for NPR and the following message come from the Wallace Foundation, working to develop and share practices that can improve learning and enrichment for young people and the vitality of the arts for everyone. Ideas and information at wallacefoundation.org.
The news is about more than what just happened. You need to know why it happened, who made it happen, how it's felt in the communities you care about. NPR's daily news podcast, Consider This, gives you all of that, with context, backstory, and analysis on a single topic every weekday. It's not just information, it's what the news means. Consider This from NPR.
So one of the pranks in the movie, someone beats up a blind person.
Yes.
Another prank in the movie.
I would just say for your audience listening, that is a stunt man, by the way.
Okay.
That wasn't
okay,
a real
okay,
blind
yeah.
person out in the streets. That is a stunt
yes,
man.
Yes. Yes.
That is a non-blind stunt man. Yes.
People in the wild are thinking that you're like beating up a blind
yeah,
man.
Yeah, well, not me, Michaela, yes.
Not you, yes, yes. And then there's like the gorilla sex scene at the zoo.
Yes.
Is there a barometer for offensiveness when you're thinking about pranks and what will end up in the movie? Like, is there a line you will not cross, or do you not think about it that way?
You know what? Thinking about a line to not cross or cross is like you're always threading the needle when you're doing shock comedy. And I think shock comedy and being provocative and sometimes polarizing in your comedy is very important, not just in comedy, but in all art. But I think behind every creative comedic choice or any creative artistic choice of any artistic medium, fine art, literature, poetry, dance, I think it comes down to two things. It comes down to intent and context. I think it's very easy for anybody to recontextualize any scene from any movie or any work of art, any medium, and be offended by it, you know. Murder, like the act of murder is horrible, right? You would say murdering somebody is very horrible.
I would say.
Yet when we're watching John Wick in the movie theaters and Keanu Reeves.
I'm like, kill him.
Yeah.
Kill him
yeah,
all.
Keanu Reeves is murdering a million stuntmen. At no point are you like, you know what, that's kind of messed up because Jeffrey Dahmer murdered some people. And you're not being sensitive to their plight. You wouldn't think that because you're looking at John Wick in a specific context. So there's context and there's intent. There's never any malicious intent behind any of my, I can't speak for all comedians, but behind my creative comedic choices, there's never malicious intent. My only intent is to make the audience laugh and even make the people I'm pranking laugh eventually once the prank is revealed. So.
Yeah. Okay,
and
that
then
makes sense.
The context is almost for the audience. That's the burden of the audience. I think you can recontextualize any scene from any movie, whether it's comedy or drama or any art form. But it's up to you to put the pieces together and kind of understand the context of any scene.
Yeah. So you do pranks on the Eric Andre Show as well. And whenever I read about that show and read about you talking about it, a word that is always tossed about is absurdist.
Yes.
And then in this interview with IndieWire, I really love something you told them. You said that your goal with these pranks is not to be mean, but to instead warp people's reality to the point of psychosis.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, huh? What do you mean by that?
What don't I mean by that, my friend, is the question. No, I think pranks, you have to thread the needle with pranks because it's very easy to make a prank feel mean or mean-spirited. And I don't think there's any creative value in being mean or malicious. I don't think it's like watchable even or fun. You know, it should be a fun watch. So the way to keep pranks ethical and make them fun and enjoyable to watch is distorting reality to its to the nth degree, which is the verge of psychosis.
When you get people to that state,
yes,
what do you hope they bring back with them to the real world?
I hope they have a story to tell for the rest of their life.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Last question for you. I've heard a lot of folks, I've seen a lot of folks ask about who you most want to prank, but I'm wondering who you would never prank and why.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. That's a good question, too. Who would I never prank? Oh, I'll tell you. I got an answer. We found out LeVar Burton wanted to do the show season 5, and he did. So I was about to put him in the chair and prank him. And I looked at my director and my writing partner and I go, I grew up on Reading Rainbow and Star Trek and Roots. Mm. And LeVar Burton's work is so Like he raised me. Like, those are such seminal, like, I watched Star Trek with my grandma. My mom made me watch Roots when I was 8 years old onwards. And when I was...
That's kind of young for Roots, bro.
No, my mom was... My mom's the white one, too, and she is more woke. My mom is more into black rights than my dad. My dad is like... My mom, when she was 18 years old, was at the March on Washington and saw Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech in 1963 when she was 18
years old. All right. Come through, ally.
My mom has been woke since day one. But LeVar Burton was so... part of my childhood that I turn to my producing partners and I go, I don't have the heart to prank him. Like, I can't. I can't do it. And I was like trying to write pranks for LeVar Burton. And I was like, I can't. It's like, I don't know what it'd be like pranking my grandmother or like pranking Santa Claus. Like, he's like almost mythical, like in my heart. So I just, we had him on the show and we had him do like wacky pranks with the other guests, but he was like in on it. Like, we didn't sit him in the couch and prank him. So that's my answer, LeVar Burton.
I'm really grateful to you for this time and this conversation.
Of course.
But I'm also thankful, I realized thinking about this interview and this movie and my questions for you, I think what I like most about what Bad Trip does right now is it gives viewers this like hour and a half of just black joy, black absurdity, yeah, and black hijinks.
Yes.
And this moment when all the other news is black pain and black trauma, yes, and black suffering.
Yes.
So I thank you for that.
Of course.
And it meant a lot to me.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That means a lot.
Thanks again to comedian Eric Andre. His latest movie, Bad Trip, is out on Netflix now. I liked it so much I watched it twice. That never happens. Also, all 5 seasons of The Eric Andre Show are streaming right now on Hulu. Speaking of video, dear listeners, if you want to watch me with a mic in my hand talking to Eric Andre, there's an extended version of this interview with Eric Andre on YouTube. Yes, it's at youtube.com/NPR. All right, listeners, this episode of It's Been a Minute was produced by Andrea Gutierrez, and it was edited by Jordana Hokeman. Listeners, take care of yourselves. Find something to laugh about. Till next time, stay safe. I'm Sam Sanders. We'll talk soon.
This message is brought to you by NPR sponsor Lisa in collaboration with West Elm. Discover the new natural hybrid mattress, expertly crafted from natural latex and certified safe foams, designed with your health and the planet in mind. Visit leesa.com to learn more. This message comes from Schwab. It's easy to invest in ideas you believe in with Schwab Investing Themes, like online music and videos, artificial intelligence, and electric vehicles. Choose from over 40 customizable themes. More at schwab.com.
All that sitting and swiping, your body is adapting to your technology. Learn how and what you can do about it.
I really felt like the cloud in my brain kind of dissipated. Once I started realizing what a difference these little breaks were making, there's no turning back for me.
Take NPR's Body Electric Challenge. Listen to the series wherever you get your podcasts.